Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A pleasant Tuesday afternoon to each and every one of you. Maybe chilly out, but plenty of sunshine. Coming up on today's show, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, and the recruiting effect with Ryan Snyder of Rivals.com. Tomorrow, Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football, will join us. That'll be on tomorrow's show. And Penn State will play at Purdue Saturday, Ross 8 Stadium, West Lafayette. Noon the kick and 10:30 will be the airtime. Meanwhile, Bucknell plays at Charleston Southern on Eagle 107 on Saturday.
Even earlier, 11:45 kickoff.
Breakfast in Charleston.
With the suit and Doug. Come on. What else can
you do? Well, breakfast with Doug, I think I would enjoy that.
I would too.
Again, breakfast with Doug.
You're right. Got it the first time.
Yep. Want to make sure the audience understands. But, yeah. So that's what we got going on today. And then Tim's on the show tomorrow. We'll talk about Purdue and where they are. Talked a little bit with Tim today. Talked to Tim for maybe, 10, 15 minutes this morning. And, he's like me. He's not big on changes in the middle of a season. But he said, with all due respect, I mean, he's not in any way, shape, or form saying anything disparaging about Daryl Hazel. But he said maybe in this case it's probably just something that, just based on the mood of everybody on campus, probably had to be done just because of the mood. It'll be the first home game. Look, they ran four fourth down plays. They ran a halfback option, which was a pass that was 2 yards back, and then they tried throws picked off. They ran a fake punt. They ran a reverse. So they opened up all sorts of areas of the playbook in that game. Now, Penn State practiced on Sunday, but Monday's always a day off. And when he got in front of the team on Sunday night, he said, last night was great, but now it's Purdue, 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 Purdue. He emphasized that. Now, he was not in town this morning. He went to his brother-in-law's service was today. That's why the press conference is tomorrow. And now they'll get ready for this one with Purdue in earnest. But to get guys back, to get Kabinda and Bell back, they combined for 31 tackles in that game. 19 of them were by Bell. Imagine getting 19 tackles. That's the second highest total of the year because Marcus Allen in a game against Minnesota at 22. But 19 tackles by Bell. 12 by Kabinda. Kabinda had 8 in the first half. I mean, that's the impact that they had. The other impact that they had was quite simple. I mean, how many times did you see Kabinda come up behind the defensive line and get the defensive line aligned based on what he saw? That's huge. You got him in the right alignment. And keep in mind, Ohio State did not score a point in the final 23 minutes of the game. And in the final 23 minutes of the game, Ohio State averaged 2.9 yards a play. Again, the final 23 minutes of the game, Ohio State did not score a point, and Ohio State averaged 2.9 yards a play. Tells you a lot.
Do you think their youth, their overall amount of youth on their team, it, I wouldn't say come back to haunt them, and I'm not taking away from the experience that they had at Camp Randall over a week ago, but a whiteout is a completely different ballgame, and there are various points where you could tell there were, you know, even with the few seconds leading up to the block field goal, seemed like they were, you know, they weren't all there. Weren't all completely, things weren't moving smoothly as they normally would with Urban Meyer's team.
Well, on the field goal thing, that goes to the coaches. That's, you know, they ran them out there. They elected to kick it. They looked like they were in a hurry, and they got it blocked. Yeah, that's on Urban Meyer and the coaching staff. I mean, you have timeouts. You can use it if you want. There's an old John Wooden saying, okay? Be quick, but don't hurry. They were hurried. Now, as for the rest of it, I don't want to, you know, comparing like what Wisconsin did and what Penn State did, you know, it's all personnel. You know, Penn State had advantages in certain matchups that Wisconsin didn't have over Ohio State. And in particular, at the end spots going after their two tackles. That was really important in this game. And I thought going into the game, that was one of the things I thought right away and watching the Wisconsin tape and watching Ohio State. My first thought was Penn State had a definite advantage at the end spots over both their tackles. I mean, so matchups mean a lot when you get into stuff like this. And I just thought Penn State in certain areas matched up really, really well. Now, there are a couple of areas where I think Wisconsin matches up better with Ohio State than Penn State does. Penn State made theirs pay off. So now you got Purdue coming up this week, and I talked about them earlier, and this is what they bring to the table. I'll tell you, a guy that did a great job there was Joe Tiller. And you think about Purdue football before Joe Tiller, you think about Purdue football after Joe Tiller, it really emphasizes what a great job Joe Tiller did. And Joe Tiller, when he came in, had that wide-open passing attack, and they threw the ball so much more than they ran it, and he had some really good quarterbacks. Best of all, of course, was Drew Brees. Well, when he first gets into the league in 1997, they got out to a pretty good start. And as you know, look, this league has always had an old guard to it. I don't care whether the old guard was in administration or the old guard was in coaching. You know, between Bo and Woody and Knight and Heathcote and Henson, and you know, we could go on and on and on with the great names and coaches in the league. Well, that included media. And I remember being on the coaches' teleconference, and Joe Tiller's on there, and it had to be like late October, maybe the first week of November. And Purdue's having success. And this media guy gets on there with Tiller, I can't remember who it was, and says, I mean, do you really think, you know, with a, you know, lack of a running game that can work and when it gets really cold in November in the Big Ten? And it was like a statement phrased as a question. And Joe Tiller had the answer of all answers. He said, you know what? I ran the same offense at Wyoming. I said, that's not exactly the banana belt. Well, the great answers ever. That was a beauty. That was Joe Tiller. So nobody knows what they're going to do. Mike Bobinski is now the new athletic director at Purdue. Took the job August 9th. Made the move and removed Daryl Hazel. I think it's pretty safe to say that there's an excellent chance nobody in the staff is back next year. I don't know, you know, but that they're going to go all fresh, all new. Now, what that ends up meaning, I don't know. We'll see. But it's going to be the major call of his career. They're going to put lights in at Ross-Ade Stadium next year. So that's their big capital improvement project. You'll see more and more of this across the landscape of the Big Ten because more Big Ten schools with the new TV contract will have some more income to do certain things if they so desire. Well, that's what they're going to do. And you know what? You just need to go out and just, I mean, Penn State just needs to go out and just get it done. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Penn State needs to just go out and get it done. I know people are worried that the game is early at noon. I understand that. I know that people are concerned that there won't be people in the stands. I understand that. But Penn State has to take advantage of their advantages, of which they have several. And I think they've got an advantage up front on both sides. Teams have run the ball on Purdue, and Purdue has struggled running. Now, David Blau's done a good job at quarterback, but still. Purdue has a couple of players suspended, like Brandon Roberts. In all likelihood, from my understanding, they will not be back. The suspended players. Now, as for the hurt players, Jake Replogle, who's very, very good, by the way, on the defensive front for Purdue, very, very good player. Very good player. Yeah, I think there's a good chance he's going to be back. But when you look at the guys that were suspended, Roberts was the prime one because he had been starting as their nickel guy. He's a guy that's been suspended, and there's a lot of talk that they won't get him back. Let's see. Juwan Bentley, the middle linebacker, was able to get back from injury after missing Iowa and Illinois, and he played against Nebraska. Roberts was suspended for the Iowa and Nebraska games. He's probably going to be suspended for this. Wyatt Cook was suspended for the last three games. There's a lot of talk that he's a backup defensive end. He is not a starter. Roberts was a starter. Cook is a backup to a very good player, Evan Panfil, at defensive end. Panfil's very good. They can move Panfil all over the place. Good player. And but Cook and Roberts are two guys that were suspended. My understanding is the suspended guys will not be back. Roberts started. Cook was a backup. So that's where they are. They give up points. They give up yards. I mean, that's, you just got to go out. You got to put the level of doubt into their heads early, and make them think that they've got no shot today. You do that, you put yourself in good shape, you make them hang around. And the longer they hang around, the more they think they have a shot, and then the more dangerous the game becomes. It's just, And I've talked about that many, many times before. When you put pressure on David Blau, it makes a big difference in his game. Let's just look at the last three games for the Purdue quarterback as to what he's done, pressure versus not pressured. When he has not been pressured, he has hit 66% of his passes in the last three games. Not bad. But when he's been pressured, he's hit 29% of his passes. Just a little thought for you. Just a little thought. Maybe it gives you some ideas as to what the thought process is here. They lost Dominique Young, their top wideout for the season. Although I'll say this, D'Angelo Yancey's really good. I like him. Good player. I also like the two tight ends. Hopkins and Herdman, I think they're both very good. Very, very good. And they're part of the pass game and so forth. okay with yards after the catch. I mean, the backs are okay. They're good with that because they do a lot of dump-offs. But the wideouts, I mean, the tight ends only average 5 yards after the catch, and the wideouts only average 6 yards after the catch. And that includes Yancey's big catch and run last week. I mean, Yancey had a huge catch and run. They threw a 20-yard in-cut to him. He caught at the 30 and went the final 70 yards for an 88-yard play. So, all right, we'll take a break. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I guess what, it's senior night for Danville, right? And
They got a matchup Friday night against Warrior Run.
I guess what and the suit's bagging mini suit and getting out of town.
Complete opposite.
What?
He's taking a red eye first thing Saturday morning to Charleston Southern. When's your plane leaving? 6?
Never.
6:05, 6:20. Okay.
Never gonna make it.
You don't think?
No. No shot.
Well, if he gets up at 3, he'll be fine.
No shot.
Oh, that's the point. You're getting up at O Dark 30?
No shot.
He's getting up at O Dark 4.
So I talked to Doug. Doug says, I'm prepared to just go it alone. Said, yeah, another Vince Scully for you moment.
Done that in the life of Mr. Birdsong.
And you know, Doug's going to go it alone, you know, and it's like, you know, he said, a lot like last week. I said, but you had him last week.
Feel like basketball season, but a 2-week head start. I'll give him a ton of credit. I don't know how he does it. I really don't.
Don't look at me.
Hoop solo. I'm ton of credit.
Don't look at me.
I give you a ton of credit. You don't have any spotters. That's how you roll. I give you credit, too.
Oh, I just show up. They point me toward the field. I talk. All right. I mean, look at Doug. It's probably easier without the suit. Don't you think? He's shaking his head in the background, isn't he?
That's right. Left to right. Yep-er.
Well, actually, for him, it's right to left.
That too. Depending on what day it is, yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. We'll come back. We'll talk with Ben Jones, statecollege.com, in a moment. Today, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You know, if you can look up how often the Harrisburg to Dulles flight is canceled, sure, you can Google it. Just thinking of the suit. All
All right. This day in sports history, then Ben Jones, statecollege.com. 1947, the Army football team was defeated by Columbia 21-20. Army had gone 32 consecutive games unbeaten that spanned four seasons. They had earned two national titles in that same time frame. 1964, Jim Marshall of the Vikings picked up a 49ers fumble. I think it was Billy Kilmer that fumbled it and ran the wrong way 66 yards into his own team's end zone for a safety. I'll never forget Bruce Bosley, the center for the 49ers, running up and hugging him, and Marshall's looking around like, why? 1986, 30 years ago today, the Red Sox lost Game 6 of the World Series to the Mets. The winning run scored in the 10th inning at a ground ball that went through Bill Buckner's legs. I was working on the Penn State Network, and it was Lanny Fitteri, John Grant, me doing the Penn State Alabama game. It may have been the finest single performance I've ever seen Penn State put on. They beat Alabama. It was 30 years ago today, 23-3. Alabama was ranked second in the country, undefeated. Penn State was fifth in the country, undefeated. Flew back into Harrisburg, ironically, and then bus back here. The only part of the game I saw was the bottom of the 10th inning. Mm. Needless to say, there was some disappointment.
I was at a bar in Jersey Shore doing a beer night appearance, and I was looking up, and of course, no flat screen TVs back then, and saw the play when the ball trickled through his legs.
So a typical Saturday night for you that comes in 30 right
years
to this
ago,
day.
Right.
30 years later, still having beer night on on
Plus,
Saturday
that was
night.
A few months after I turned 21, too. So
hey, there you go.
Perspective.
There you go. All right. Also on this day, Twins beat the Cardinals to win their first World Series 1987. They won all the games at home and lost all the games on the road. And 1998, Jason Elam of the Broncos kicked a 63-yard field goal and tied Tom Dempsey's 28-year-old record. All right. Did you look up how often the flight from Harrisburg to Dulles is canceled?
Quite a few more here than I thought, man.
So I tried to tell him. Yeah. And not only that, did you hear him talking about senior night? That the night is for him?
I could have sworn it was all about the kids. Am I missing something? You set me straight.
Actually, you aren't. Somebody else is. All right, let's bring in Ben Jones, statecollege.com. Ben, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me. And I got to say that, I grew up in State College. I've listened to a lot of Penn State football on the radio growing up, and I thought that call that you had of the blocked field goal, is right up there with anything that I've heard. So good job with that.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. I appreciate that. What were your thoughts? What they didn't play a perfect game, but they won the game. What does that tell us?
Yeah, I mean, I think the past few days I've been as sort of befuddled as anyone about how they managed to do that. I think, you look at this game and said, Ohio State has a really good offense, so Penn State's playing at home. A lot of Ohio State games for the most part historically have been pretty close. I think everyone sort of thought it was going to go the way that it did, that Penn State would hang around, you get a touchdown, it makes people stay and sort of believe. And then Ohio State goes up 21-7, and you kind of feel like this is the moment that happens in a lot of these Ohio State games where Penn State hangs around and then Ohio State pulls away. And then, sometimes you just find funny ways to win. Credit to the offense for getting big drives at moments that they needed big drives, and then you get a field goal block return for a touchdown. I was joking around that I played a lot of Madden, a lot of video games, a lot of NCAA, and I think I've blocked maybe one field goal and on the video game. It's incredible to see. It's unbelievable that it transpired the way that it did. And I felt like, there have been a few games that I've seen in Beaver Stadium. Obviously, you've seen a few more that feel like that big, national moment. But this was like one of the few times that I felt like I was witnessing the game I would watch on TV. In person, it was indescribable, just the sort of sequence of events that happened and, how they won. My guess is as good as anyone, but I think, you've got a team that's good at fighting, good at finding ways just stay in games. And to all credit in up, and I think that really the past few years has been sort of the calling card of these teams, that they just don't die. They just don't give up. And on Saturday, it worked in their favor.
When you went to the media room, how did you gauge the room as to how they, the players, were handling it?
I think really to a certain extent, there was still like a certain amount of it hadn't sunk in yet. I think that, you know, Jordan Smith getting indirectly tweeted at by LeBron James. There's people, you know, tweeting here and there, and just the guys are just sort of like this shock on their face that like, wow, this really happened. And I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, people talk about how Penn State doesn't say that anyone's their rival and doesn't say that any game is bigger than the other one. And I think to a certain extent that kind of pays off, because I think you talk to Mike Gesicki after the game, he's a guy that's always sort of happy and what have you. And you really, you know, he's as excited as any other win. And obviously, you know, I'm sure they go home and realize sort of what it's thinking and what has happened. But I think for the most part, these guys, you know, at least in the media room, you see the clips from the locker room where it's a little less restrained. But certainly in the media room, these guys are just, you know, as professional as usual. But certainly at the same time, I think everyone answered every question with a little bit bigger smile than they had, you know, maybe for a different one, and it's hard to blame them.
Now, this is only my opinion, and if you don't agree with it, obviously say so right away. But I've always felt that the even-keeled approach that James Franklin tries each week, I don't care whether it's Pitt or Ohio State, is not about that game. It's actually about if you win a game like Ohio State, that I think that's where the payoff is. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things that works well when it works. And I think there are moments, you know, I think maybe if Penn State at least outwardly acknowledges the Pitt game is maybe a bit more
right.
of an emotional investment, maybe you start that game a little better. Maybe you come out with that same sort of intensity that you have against Ohio State. Maybe that game goes differently. But certainly, I think in the big picture, when you have that even keel approach, you try and take everybody one game at a time, take everybody seriously, take everyone with the same sort of not respect, but certainly the same amount of concentration and what have you. I do think it pays off, and I think it pays off especially when you go from a game like this to next week when they've got to play Purdue, which is, you know, with all due respect to that program, about the exact opposite of Ohio State right now. And I think, you know, when you invest too much in one game, maybe you look over another one, but I think if you can find a way to be even keeled, to kind of approach these games one game at a time, you find yourself doing what Penn State has done the past few weeks, which is, you know, essentially they've beat three undefeated teams, certainly, you know, Minnesota, Maryland, aren't Ohio State, but at the same time, you're going out there, you're taking care of business, and you're just worrying about things one week at a time.
A lot of people have always talked about noon starts on the road, not a lot of people in the stands. Are those, to you, are those legit factors in all the games you've covered?
I think to a certain extent. I mean, I think any time that you know, you talk in other sports too. I think that, you know, you talk to Pat Chambers and there's always been the sort of, we have to make our own energy because the Jordan Center isn't always full. And sometimes the energy there is not what it could be. And I think, you know, if you look at a football team that's got to go to a place and play in the exact opposite atmosphere that they played in on Saturday night against a team that, you know, as much as everyone's going to say this week that they're focused and looking forward to, you know, getting on the road and playing another game, you know, you just don't get as excited to play Purdue as you get to play Ohio State. And I think all of those factors, you know, I think Penn State is the better team, and I think they'll still probably win. But I don't think for a minute that Penn State can go out and start that game flat and feel like, you know, they can just get away with that, because I think for as good as Penn State has been the past few weeks, they're far from a perfect team. They've certainly got a lot of weaknesses. And I think any time that you beat a team like Ohio State, it's more important to go out the next week and win that game, too, because you look at the past two times that Penn State beat Ohio State, they lost to Michigan, they lost to Iowa in those following weeks. And certainly circumstances and weather and the teams they're playing are different each and every time. But I think to follow up a big win with another win is just as important.
The young players, there are a lot of young players that played. You know, there's several times there are four redshirt freshman linemen out there as an example. How do you think the young players have developed to help start to form the personality of this team?
I think they've done a good job, and I think probably the best way to look at it now, outside of Garrett Sickles and Evan Schwann, is on that defensive front. These guys, Kevin Givens, you know, Parker Coughlin, these guys are going out there and finding ways to contribute, finding ways to feel more and more confident. I think, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, it's been up and down with some of the offensive linemen, but I think for the most part, they're maturing, they're getting better week to week. And I think, you know, you can say that this team is young, and it certainly is, and you can say that this team has got a ways to go, but I think when you look at the big picture and how Penn State, you know, from the beginning of the year to the end of this year, are going to be more experienced and better for it. I think if you look a few years down the road, you're going to have the same thing where these guys, you know, they've been playing for a couple of years, they're going to have an experienced team. You look at Michigan. I mean, you know, for all of the good work that Jim Harbaugh has done there, he also has one of the most veteran teams in college football. And I think there's no doubt that, you know, that's as much coaching as it is guys that have played 4 or 5 years of college football, Big Ten football, and that kind of thing. You know, especially with games like this where you have to really earn it and you have to go out and play against a team that's as good as Ohio State, you know, those experiences not only pay dividends against the big teams, but they make sure that you go out and take care of the Purdue, take care of the Rutgers when, you know, maybe the past few years those games haven't been a guarantee.
Have you done anything, any work yet on Purdue? Looking at that, because obviously there's no press conference today, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'll find out a little bit more about Purdue tomorrow. I mean, I know that, you know, I think when you look at the game that they had last weekend and you can go and play a ranked team and give them a run for their money, I think that always makes you have to take a game more seriously than maybe what the record is. I think, you know, if any program can appreciate a team that, you know, not necessarily with an interim head coach, but dealing with a situation where they have an interim head coach, you know, they're sort of between things. They're fighting mostly for pride more than anything else. I think Penn State's a program that can definitely appreciate to a certain extent what Purdue is going through. So I think, you know, while the record isn't great and certainly the product hasn't been great, I think, you know, any time that you have a team sort of fighting for its life there a little bit, you have to take them seriously, maybe even more so than a team that's just not very good.
All right. We talked about the younger players. How have you felt about some of the play of the veterans, Jordan Smith, Garrett Sickles, Evan Schwann, giving Brendan Mandel a point? How about, you know, on a team that doesn't have a lot of veterans, what have they done in your eyes?
I think they've done, you know, wonderfully, actually. I mean, I think a lot of these guys, you know, when you're in a position where you're one of the few veterans on a team, you know that a lot of people are going to look to you to make big plays. And I think Evan Schwann, you know, the guy who really showed up, that whole defensive front showed up against Ohio State, for him to go out and get that last sack. You know, I think he in particular is a particularly great story because he's a guy that's been in the program for forever. You know, Penn State has not been short on defensive ends the past few years, and he's just sort of bided his time. Then he has to deal with an injury. You know, I think to see him go out there and have, you know, the kind of game that he had against Ohio State is a testament to sort of the work that he's put in over the years. Jordan Smith got, you know, you could say that maybe there's a little interference, maybe there's not. Regardless, he goes out and makes some plays. You know, Penn State wins because of these guys, and I think, you know, for as much as the youth has helped, I think, you know, if you look at Brandon Bell and Jason Cabin, the guys who are, you know, maybe not the oldest guys on the team necessarily, but certainly veterans, all of these guys, you know, they showed up in a big way, and certainly Penn State doesn't have those numbers, like we said, that Michigan does, but I think when you can get quality out of the veterans that you do have like you did on Saturday, you're going to be able to win a lot of football games.
Yeah, it makes a difference. And he's talked forever about special teams. Obviously, there are a couple special teams problems in that game, you know, with the fumble punt and the snap that Blake Gilligan, I thought, did a great job of saving a touchdown, just getting a safety out of it. But what has the special teams improvement meant in what we're seeing in this football program right now?
Oh, it's everything. I think, you know, it's hard to quantify specifically to this season how many games that, you know, Blake Gilligan's leg has saved Penn State. But I think, you know, certainly, you know, Jabril Pepper's return on that first punt certainly negated the 61-yard punt. But, you know, the past few years, Penn State's not getting 61-yard punts out of the back of the end zone from anybody. So to have that ability to flip the field, I think really the reason that Penn State was in this game for so long on Saturday before eventually winning was the fact that when those drives stalled on offense, that they were able to get the ball deep in Ohio State territory and really give Ohio State a long field to work with. I think if you give Ohio State a 90-yard field to work with and they score on you, you say, well, we did the best we could. But if you're giving them, you know, 45 yards, 30 yards to work with and they score, there's not a whole lot you can do about that on the defensive side of the ball. So I think special teams, the return game, I think Miles Sanders keeps showing flashes.
Yes.
He's had some of the best 25-yard returns that you could ask for. But I think, you know, he seems like he's the guy that is, you know, maybe a cut one way or a block another way away from breaking some of these. I think, obviously, Blake Gilligan's been fantastic. And I think all these little things, those are the difference. There's a reason why Urban Meyer is a coach that is known for his special teams unit. And it's because that's such an important part of the game. And Penn State the past year just haven't had it. They haven't had the numbers, the scholarships. And this year in particular, you've seen it. And I never in a million years would have thought that Penn State was going to beat Ohio State because they got better special teams play, even with the mistakes that they had. So, you know, I think, you know, it's absolutely, you know, James Franklin said before the season it was the area that he was the most excited about, and I think you can see why, because it's definitely something that helped Penn State win the game, even if it, you know, ultimately is the reason they won the game. But certainly before that block kick was returned, there were a lot of plays that really helped keep Penn State in the game.
Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate the time and the comments very much.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Great to have Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, with us on the show today. Next half hour, Ryan Snyder from Rivals.com. We'll talk about recruiting as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, I'll say this about the Indians and the Cubs. It's allowed us to appreciate Will Ferrell and the Harry Carey impersonation. Oh, my goodness. I've always thought it was funny, okay?
I did, too. Yeah, he's popped up on Jimmy Kimmel and a little appearance on Dan Patrick today.
Oh, my goodness, it's so funny. Just a riot. It's a simple yes or no question. It's not rocket science.
He steps out onto the floor with Kimmel and his shirt's tucked out of his pants and it's all disheveled. Oh. Hair's all disheveled. And
oh, man.
The Cubs posted on their Facebook earlier, they posted a flashback video to August 8th, 1988, the night of the first night game at Wrigley Field. It showed Harry interviewing Bill Murray.
Oh, jeez.
He goes, Bill, this Bud's for you. And he hands him a can of Bud. And a koozie.
Oh, my goodness. NFL ratings. How are we doing here? Well, the best is Fox so far in their regional telecasts. Down 1%. CBS regional telecasts are down 9%. Thursday night football is down 18%. Sunday night football is down 19%. Monday night football is down 24%. Wow. And I can tell you right now, the Thursday night ratings are not going any higher this week, with the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars head-to-head.
I believe last year they played on a Thursday night, and both of them wore those Color Rush uniforms. And
yeah,
the Jaguars, each guy looked like the Color Rush was like golden spicy mustard color.
what it comes down to is this. Monday Night Football literally has lost one quarter of its audience from last year. A quarter. One quarter of their audience is gone. That's remarkable. They didn't lose a quarter of their audience in 10 years. They lost it in 12 months. Wow. Now, they're not getting a great quality of game. Let's start with this. They're not getting great matchups. Some of this stuff, as I mentioned, is self-inflicted wounds. The Brady case, how they handled Peterson, how they handled Rice, things like that, Hardy. And some of this is, as much as it's been praised by many, some people are completely turned off by the social activism. Now, pro or con, I mean, you're for it or against it, but people are entitled to say, I don't want to watch it either. But just because it may make an important statement doesn't mean you have to watch it.